Hi everyone, welcome to Symphony's Daily Devotionals. Today's passage comes from Esther chapter 8. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Then Esther spoke again to the king. She fell at his feet and wept and pleaded with him to avert the evil plan of Haman the Agagite and the plot that he had devised against the Jews. When the king held out the golden scepter to Esther, Esther rose and stood before the king. And she said, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and if the thing seems right before the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let an order be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the provinces of the king. For how can I bear to see the calamity that is coming to my people? Or how can I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?" Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he intended to lay hands on the Jews. But you may write as you please with regard to the Jews in the name of the king, and seal it with the king's ring, for an edict written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's ring cannot be revoked." The king's scribes were summoned at that time, in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. And an edict was written according to all that Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews, to the satraps and the governors and the officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to each province in its own script and to each people in its own language, and also to the Jews in their script and their language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring. Then he sent the letters by mounted couriers riding on swift horses that were used in the king's service, bred from the royal stud, saying that the king allowed the Jews who were in every city to gather and defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate any armed force of any people or province that might attack them, children and women included, and to plunder their goods, on one day throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. A copy of what was written was to be issued as a decree in every province, being publicly displayed to all peoples, and the Jews were to be ready on that day to take vengeance on their enemies. So the couriers mounted on their swift horses that were used in the king's service, rode out hurriedly, urged by the king's command. And the decree was issued in Susa, the citadel. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white, with a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple, and the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, wherever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Amen. So today I want to reflect on the cry of God's heart and his plan to restore his people. When Haman was around, you might remember that he issued a decree, a law, if you will, that all the Jews in the kingdom of Ahasuerus should be killed, destroyed, and annihilated. But Haman was gone now. We saw in chapter 7 that Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And so why does Esther weep before the king and make another request in our chapter today? Well, it's because she knew that even though Haman was gone, the issued decree was still at work. The system was still shaped to oppress the Jews, which meant that until that was changed, the Jews were still in danger. She cries out in verse 6, "For how can I bear to see the calamity that is coming to my people? Or how can I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?" As I read this verse over and over again, I felt like the Spirit was reminding me of the Father's heart, a heart that breaks for the lost, a heart that weeps for those who weep, a shepherd who has compassion over his sheep. And I think we see the heart of the Father through Esther. As she wept and pleaded for the king's favor, we see the cry of God's heart, yearning for the restoration of his people. And by God's sovereignty and with favor from King Ahasuerus, we see a path towards restoration. Esther and Mordecai were given the signet ring, and when an edict or an official order is sealed with this ring, the law cannot be revoked. And what's amazing is that this new decree, this edict, was written and released to 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, each in his own language. And verses 15 to 17 tell us that in every province and in every city, wherever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews. They celebrated over a feast. It was a holiday. God restored them and brought them out of mourning and into dancing, out of weeping and into joy. The Jews had gladness and light and honor. And verse 15 tells us that Mordecai was restored and lifted up to a greater honor than before, which was signified by his royal robes of blue and white, with a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. Through a new command and edict, the Jewish people were restored. And in a similar, yet greater way, God restores sinners like you and me through Christ. Jesus was in the business of restoring sinners. The very fact that the Father sent his Son Jesus to live among us is reflective of the cry of his heart, his desperate desire for all to know him and to be restored to him. And though he was the Son of God, Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to death on a cross. And all of this was so that he might fulfill the law and issue a new decree, the law of liberty. Freedom for all oppressed by sin and bound by death, hope for the hopeless and joy for the mourning. And it's through Christ and his law that we can be filled with a newfound joy, light, gladness, and honor. Now at the end of verse 17, it says that many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for fear of the Jews had fallen on them. I'm not really sure what kind of fear this verse is talking about, but based on the context, I'm assuming that the reason why they called themselves Jews is purely because they were afraid for their own lives. The edict declares that anyone who oppresses the Jewish people can destroy and annihilate them and their families and plunder their goods. And so for fear of the Jews and wanting to just protect their own lives, they called themselves Jews. But our hope is that many more people in Boston, in Taiwan, in Italy, in LA, in Montreal, and all around the world, that more might declare themselves as Christians, as followers of Christ, not for fear of God's wrath, not for fear of losing their own life, but for the joy, gladness, light, and honor that they can receive in Christ. And so today, I just want to encourage us with these thoughts and remind us of the cry of God's heart, the law fulfilled in Christ, a new issue decree, the law of liberty that brings about the Father's plan to restore his people through Christ. Let's remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. Let's remember this new edict, this new law that will not be revoked. It has been stamped by the blood of Jesus. Let's remember the grace and the love that God continues to pour out upon his people, upon you and me today. And let's come to know the cry of God's heart for more people to come to know him and be restored in Christ, that they too might call themselves Christians, Christ followers, restored by his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. thank you, Lord, for your word today. And God, we thank you, God, that we see through Esther the cry of your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you desire and yearn for the restoration of your people. And we know, Lord, that we've seen glimpses of this, Lord, today. We've seen this true in a spiritual dimension, for there is victory in Christ over sin and death. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you all the praise and we rejoice and we receive light and honor and joy in our hearts today. Fill us, Lord, with more of that. Remind us, Lord, remind our spirits of this. But Lord, we also know that there's more that you want to accomplish in our world, that you want there to be a full restoration of all things. And so, Lord, we pray for that. We pray, Lord, for that plan of redemption and restoration to continue on by your will. And we also pray, Father, Lord, that many would come to know you, that they too would come to declare themselves as followers of Jesus. Not because, Lord, purely because of they're afraid of God's wrath, but Lord, because I pray, Lord, that they would encounter, Lord, just a glimpse, that they would taste and see what they can receive in your presence. Lord, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your victory, God, there is light and honor and gladness. And so, Lord, we look to you today and we give you all the thanks and we plead with the same kind of cry that Esther cried, with the same kind of cry, Lord, that you have for the lost. We thank you and we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us and I hope that you'll continue on in our series on Esther. Tomorrow, Friday, we're going to take a break from Esther and look at one of the Psalms together. Have a great day.